sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up.
Hey, yo, I remember Marvin Gaye used to sing to me. He had me feeling like black was the thing to be. And suddenly the ghetto didn't seem so tough. And though we had it rough, we always had enough. I huffed and puffed about my curfew and broke the rules. Ran with the local crews and had a smoke or two. I realized mama really paid the price. She nearly gave her life to raise me right. And all I had to give her was my pipe dream of how I'd rock the mic and make it to the bright screen. I'm trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents. It's hard to be legit and still pay the rent. And in the end, it seems I'm heading for the pen. I try to find my friends, but they're all blowing in the wind. Welcome, bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. B Blizzak, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. Before I continue with the show, I want to remind you, I want to inform you new listeners and remind you returning listeners that this podcast is still protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, blue, and a red, black flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on February 26, 2023 at 8:58 p.m. And 8:58 p.m. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labels as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. All right. Let's intro. Where are my timers? Yo, okay, I'm off to a late start. It's just been an interesting day. I'll go over it in a bit as soon as I orient myself and get my timers ready. But okay, let's start with the intro, hold on a second. Let me just try to, I feel like every episode I'm trying to orient myself. And, there you go. Okay, sorry. Okay. What I'm looking for is I have this app for my timer, and I probably went over my time right now. Okay, here we go. Okay, so intro. Let me introduce the show. So, I don't know if I'm talking to you. I'm acting like I forget how to do my own show. I just had a weird night, folks. I'll explain. Before I go on, I just want to say a quick happy belated birthday to Elijah McClain. R.I.P. Elijah McClain. Elijah McClain is basically on the long list of black kids who were killed by the police over some bullshit. I was reminded of his death, of his story, because it came up on my timeline and someone I don't follow. Someone show up on my timeline, and this Twitter user, her name is Bowery Doll. And she says, say his name, Elijah McClain. Happy heavenly birthday to a sweet spirit who was brutally taken from this world by cops in Colorado. He was a brilliant young brother, kind and loving. We were all robbed of the good he was trying to do in this dark world. Rest in peace. Yeah, man, I think I couldn't said it any better. I don't know, in preparation for the show, so there's a picture of him playing his violin in front of cats, sheltered cat, because he felt that that might just help them out. And, I made the mistake of watching the video of his death, and his last words was, "I can't breathe, I'm an introvert, that's all, I'm so sorry, I have no gun, I don't do any fighting." I don't know, man. It's, geeky black kid, and anyways, yeah, they took him. These bastards took him. They give a fuck about his humanity, and they took him. Also, in the intro section, I'm off to a really dark start. Maybe again because of the evening I had, and I'll explain it to you soon. All right, so then after there was the death anniversary of Trayvon Martin. Actually, today, he died on this day in 2012. So RIP to Trayvon Martin. All right, okay. This is just the intro bit. Today's episode. Now, I probably should conclude. This is my last recording date for the month of February. The next time we chat, the next is on Wednesday, and that's going to be, the 1st of March. We'll be on to something different. But for the month of February, as just to remind you, I've been dedicated every recording to a rapper who, just like the title says, like Pac said perfectly, had me feeling like black was the thing to be. And it's a big deal for me because, like I said, I grew up around white kids, and when I say I grew up around white kids, it's another way of saying I grew up around people who didn't know or didn't want to hear shit, wasn't trying to hear shit about my blackness. I grew up around people who I had to code switch. I grew up around people who, basically, I needed an artist to make me feel like black was the thing to be. Because to them, it was like invisible. Yeah. And so this whole month every episode I've been some kind of tribute to these rappers, and I'm going to list them all. Public Enemy. First we started with Public Enemy, KRS-One, Sister Soulja, Paris, Ice Cube, Dead Prez. And for this episode, we're going to end off with Tupac. We're going to end off with Tupac with some honorable mentions, but that's going to be in the second segment, the last segment of this episode, which I call Deep Thoughts or Personal Shit, Personal Thoughts, Personal Shit, whatever. And the segment before that, it's called News and Random Thoughts. I'm going to go over my evening. I think I'm going to, because I'm going to run out of time, I'm just going to talk about my time at the Virtuous Con. Virtuous Con. Sorry, I kept calling it Virtual Con. English is my second language, so that's my excuse. Virtuous Con 2023. All right, so news and random thoughts. And then end with personal shit and personal thoughts and try to enjoy the rest of my Sundays. So here we go, gang. Here we go. All right. Okay. Ooh, it's a little warm here. All right. So Virtual Con. What is Virtual Con? Virtuous Con. It is, I'm going to read the actual description from the website. You know what I mean? This was one of those things I just didn't investigate too much into it, and essentially, yeah, save the day. Science fiction plus fantasy for the culture. How about, is there an about? There we go. Virtuous Con is a company created by Cersei Rainey Murphy. Sorry, if we were speaking French, j'aurais dit Cerise. It's easier for me to read names in English in French than I can. You know what? Excuses. All right. That produces a host of events as a vehicle for independent science fiction, fantasy, comic creators to grow an audience for their work. Oh, amazing. Each event venue creates an authentic experience for attendees, including virtual booth for vendors to interact live with attendees about their products, live panel rooms to interact with real-time discussions. Murphy created Virtuous Con out of a need to help many of her BIPOC creative colleagues, amazing, and friends whose businesses were disproportionately impacted by the COVID-19 shutdown. Oh, interesting. Meet the team. Oh, okay. This is amazing. All right. So, yeah. Very clever, man. It was a conference, an event, virtual event, and I had fun. I spent the last 2 days participating in there, and it was everything. Yo, this shit was therapeutic, man, in so many senses. Okay, let me back off, okay? Because after VirtuousCon, I was supposed to record, and I was feeling, like, upbeat. You were going to hear an inspirational version of me. What changed is a friend of mine swung by, and she was, just swung by to pick something up from me. And at the same time, she shared a story, and she was telling me about a friend of hers who passed away from cancer. And this friend is just, fuck, this life is so fucking tragic. Anyway, yeah, this friend just lived a tragic life. And I'm not an atheist. I've just, like, I'm an ex-Christian now. I know I'm going to probably disappoint some of you listeners, but I'm an ex-Christian. But while I was listening to her, I was just thinking about if I was still Christian. This would have been one of those situations where I'd been like, you know what, yo, I ain't trying to hear shit from this guy. Like, it would have been one of those situations where I'm like trying to make sense out of this person's life. So if I'm feeling down, it's because I was just, poor person, her life was a tragedy, but that's not what this episode was just about. I'm just telling you what's on my mind at the moment. You know what? Hold on a second. Okay. That person's life was tragic. At the same time, I'm remembering the fact that my cousin actually just gave birth to her second child, and I guess I should be rejoicing from that, trying to make sense out of that. And tomorrow is the 27th, is my cousin Moo's birthday. And if you don't know, cousin Moo is a very special human being, especially, I mean, she's a relative, but, you know, very special, near and dear to my heart, and it's her birthday, so God bless her. Oh, fuck. Hold on a second. Forgot to turn on the timer for this segment. You know what? I think it's going to be fuck the timer for today, man. Fuck the timer. I'm just going to... What's on my mind? I don't want to write this down. Just want to say what's on my mind. So I'm imitating Mos Def. I don't want to write things down. Just want to say what's on my mind. So yeah, no, I'm just... Okay. Yeah. Virtuous Con. So I got that out of my system. The person who died, it just, her birth was a tragedy. She that's why it's fucking with me, man. Her birth was a tragedy. Her birth mother was raped, gave birth to her in a hospital, and then left her there. And then she's just been struggling through this life. You know, she's a friend of you. We're just struggling through this life. And it's not... Her story makes me think of Brenda's Got a Baby by Tupac. It's not the same, but it's just the tragedy to it. And it just reminds me how maybe I'm learning how to be so... Learning to be grateful for what I have. Okay, you know what? Let me suck it up, man. I know I'm downing you, but, you know, this is me transferring feelings. Okay, you know what? I know I've downed you, so let's see if I can, you know, bring up the temperature or the morale. And I don't think I can, but I'm... Okay, let me just talk to you about Virtuous Day and end on personal thoughts. All right, so, Virtuous Con, Jesus Christ. Like I said, this event was therapeutic. I can't remember how I heard about this event. I think it might have been Instagram. I saw a poster. All I saw was Black History Month and Black Comic Books. $10 fee. What the fuck? Even if I didn't attend, there's no way I am not paying. I am not paying for this event. So I remember paying for this event. Okay, 10 American, you know. Sure, that's a big thing. But yeah, paid for it. And then next thing you know, I get an email reminder saying, hey, Virtuous Con is going on this weekend. Don't forget. And I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah. Anyway, so I didn't know what to expect. But I did like what I like about the Virtuous Con folks is that they sent an email before to explain how to register and what to expect. And I clicked on it and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, it's very literally, it's like a virtual conference. Comic book conference. Like, there's booths set up and you can double click to every booth. The one requirement is that, you know, you needed to have your mic and a camera, webcam ready. I didn't have a webcam set up, so I ended up using my my phone as a webcam, which required me buying a stand for my phone, but that was fun on Saturday morning. I ended up doing that. But anyways, yeah, get those details out the way. I signed up, came in, and I don't regret it. I really enjoyed myself. The first thought I remember going through, my very first thought was realizing, and I tweeted this. I'm not sure if people interpreted the way I wanted them to interpret it, but I said, I suspected there was a lot of black nerds on the internet, and Virtual Con, did I really put the wrong one? Hold on a second. Let me make sure. I'm about to beat myself up. Did I really tweet the wrong name? Because I kept calling it Virtual Con. Oh, okay. Thank God. All right. I added him. I said, yeah. I've always suspected that there were a lot of black nerds on the internet. And Virtuous Con confirmed it. Hashtag Virtuous Con. Yeah. And what I meant by that is because, right. Day one, I ended up having a, interacting when I connected into the booth, I ended up interacting with, I just blanked out on her name. The writer of a comic book called Luna One. You know what? Let me make sure I get the, give these people their flowers here. It's a Virtuous Con vendor. Her name was Okay, it keeps coming up with Virtual Con. Virtuous. Sorry. By Virtuous Con. Come on, Barnett. Get it together, man. Sorry. Come on, B-Black. Get it together. Hold on a second. 17 minutes in. Yeah. So I just used my government name, and I'm going to take that shit off. So 17 minutes in. Fuck that shit. All right, okay. All right, so the vendor, her name was, there we go, Short Gaze Media. And very kind person. Yes, the author of the comic book Luna Number One, The Awakening, Part 1 of 6. And what's amazing about that interaction is how, I didn't realize at the moment, but she was a comic book creator selling herself. She was selling her comic books. Like, she was like, she was basically like shopping an artist shopping a demo tape. Oh, this is why you should check out my shit. Blah 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 blah. And she was just explaining everything. And I'm like, I should probably mention that I'm like, okay, right before her, there was a panel discussion, and this one brother was saying how it was something about collecting comic books, and the brother was just saying how, yeah, black people, we've been in the comic industry from the beginning. And I'm not sure why I didn't get a chance. I didn't listen to the whole thing, but I was mind blown at the idea of like, wait, what? From the wait, what? Either writers, come on, it's dessinateur, like, you know, drawers, or whatever, right? Picture, whatever. Some aspect or whatever comic book like we've been involved. But what got me is the idea of, wait, what? Black people collect comic books? Yeah, it's a stupid thing to say because, you know, I collected comic books, but not to the level of an actual comic book collector. Let me put it this way. When I grew up, okay, I was like, again, grew up around white people. The only black people that I know were my relatives and other black people who didn't want to know shit about comic books. You know, I mean, they were the athletes, the jocks, or whatever. And let me put it this way. The black comic book collectors around me didn't identify themselves. Like, they hid out. And so there was a portion of time before the internet where I was convinced I was the only black comic book collector in the fucking world. Then the internet shows up, and I'm seeing Twitter handles about black nerds, all four nerds, the black guy who tips. Like, he talks about how he's a nerd, him and his wife, they talk about how they're nerds. In the previous, you know, a friend of mine, she told me how she, like, they started finally rooting out, said, yeah, no, I'm into comic book. Actually, one of my homeboys was a big comic book, like, they put me to shame. I thought I had one, because I had one copy of Spider-Man here, one copy of, several copies of Transformers. Actually, I had a shitload of Transformer comic books that I did collect. I didn't take care of them, but I did collect that. That's why I thought I was a bona fide comic book collector. But anyways, I'm talking to motherfuckers who would put my white friends to shame, you know, in terms of comic book collecting. So getting back to, I'm building a context to getting back to my discussion with the writer of, excuse me, the creator of Luna Number One. Then I get to her room and she's just, hey, welcome. I got to admit that when I first, I got to say, it was a little difficulty, like, you know, figuring out what was going on. I remember being getting inside the car, basically automatically ending up in her room, right? And a picture of her shows up at the top. I didn't realize I was talking to a human being because she says, hey, greetings. She welcomed me. I thought I was talking to a bot. I think I was a little shocked. I'm like, what? They making black bots now? What the fuck? Oh, go Russia. And it's only when I saw her, you know, she patiently waited. And it's only when I saw her, I think she might have been talking to her child in the background. She says, blah, 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 go talk to your dad. Something like that. I'm like, oh, shit, I'm talking to a human being. So I'm freaking rushing to figure out how to unmute my mic. And I'm all apologetic. But I'm sorry, just, yo, whatever. You know, because I don't want to be rude. What the fuck? What am I? You know, I don't want to, I don't want the impression to, yo, this motherfucker tweets me out. I don't know. I got a thing about having not people think that I'm rude. Okay. So anyway, I finally talked to her, being all apologetic. She said, oh, that's cool, that's cool. And she plugs her comic book, sends me the link. Now she's talking. I click on her link and I'm seeing a comic book filled with black people. Heads exploding right now. And I had to tell her, okay, I had to tell her to stop. So can I stop you for a second? Because I just need a moment to process the fact that I'm talking to a black comic book creator. I'm like, hey, when were we given the right to read? You know what I mean? I was like that behind. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Where the fuck am I? What year is this? She laughed, but I'm just saying, but she, you know, I was just in the moment. And once I, you know, processed and you know, was able to follow along, and she was just explaining her comic, then she said the word Concrete Comics. Now, I think I was aware of Concrete Comics. I might have read this on Facebook when I had a Facebook account. But, yeah, Concrete Comics is an independent comic book publishing company that launched in 2019. Concrete Comics is a collective of collective creators. I thought they focused on black comic books. Okay, no, I was under the impression that maybe they did. I could have sworn I've heard well, they have a lot of black comic books. But anyways, so she sends me to Black Concrete Comics, and and again, I'm like, oh, look at all these black people. And I see the price, $15. Oh, I remember going, what's a variant cover? Because there was three options to buy in a comic. Long story short, I end up buying her comic book online. Hit the buy. For her, it was a big deal. She was like, I want you to know, you're my first purchase. I'm like, wow. I didn't even know what I was doing. I just saw black people on comic book. I'm like, fuck yes, take my money. But it was an amazing moment how we went from, yo, do you mind if I take a picture? This is like, I need to document this moment. I was just like, black people make comic books? Black people collect comic books? What the fuck? Holy shit. What is this online shit? I was just so it was just, it was an incredible moment for me, man. I have to document that moment. It was just funny, yeah. And yeah, she took down my if I don't know if you're listening, respect, because I told her about my podcast. Yo, I was still shy about my podcast. She's probably the only person on this whole thing I told about my podcast. Yes, yeah. Sorry, I'm just trying to remember the Shark Gaze Media. I'm not going to put her government name. Anyways, yeah, shout out to Short Gaze Media. This is the whole point to all this is just to say shout out to Short Gaze Media. Thank you for your patience and in a way being my intro to Virtuous Con. Now, one thing, my thoughts about Virtuous Con is it's a very inclusive group. I really loved it. Like, there was a lot of emphasis on talking about how, yo, putting black women on the map, members of the LGBTQ community. Like, there was a lot of conferences about queer characters, Muslim characters. There was all kinds of panel discussion that I enjoyed. Here, let me run down some of the notes that I made from that night. I don't know how I heard about it, but I'm glad that I did go. When I said it was therapeutic, a lot of it, I can't wait to tell my therapist about this this moment, but a lot of it was, I felt like it was her words in practice. So essentially she's been trying to own the fact that, you know, this podcast, like make that's your thing. That's what you are, a podcaster. You want to be a podcaster? Be a podcaster. And she's not telling me the bullshit that wouldn't work on me, like, you know, believe in yourself and whatnot. No, it's saying all the right things to help me build the courage to be a podcaster. But let's just say that everything she was trying to get me to understand, I saw it in this session. I saw it in this Virtuous Con, because I was surrounded by black creatives, black people who are creative. I am surrounded by people who were not just creative, but successful about it. I remember the first person, I was in one panel, and one person was talking about, it was irking me. They were talking about how they quit their job and then went full-time in doing something they love. And it bothered me at first because I'm pretty much at a life stage where I've given up on life. Okay, and you know what? I purposely said that. That's not true, because if I had given up on life, I wouldn't be doing this podcast. But I still remember being like, fuck the world. There is no hope. There are no dreams. You know, dreams don't happen. If it does, it just happens to everything else. Like, I'm at a phase where I'm starting to like doubt that negative thought, those negative thoughts. And hearing this person, like, it took me a while before the first person to be like, I followed my dream. I was like, yeah, I ain't trying to hear that shit. Second, third, fourth, and then I was like, holy fuck. I'm surrounded by people who do shit they enjoy doing. Like, it's possible. Like, I remember, I envy people who like, Sunday night, love Sunday night. Like, unlike me, because I'm not looking forward to going to work tomorrow, but they're like, yo, can't wait to wake up tomorrow. Can't wait to go to work tomorrow. They look forward to Monday morning. I don't hate my job, but I'm just not passionate about the fact that I'm just making some honky. Anyways, rich. but yeah, bro, it was interesting being, it did me some good to be surrounded by black folks, especially black folks who do shit, who are enjoying this life, who are making the best out of this life, who are actually following their dreams. You know what I mean? Not in the future, not praying about it, not thinking about it, not talking about it, actually living it. And no, it's amazing. I'm gonna do this more often. One thing I put that, I forgot I was shy. Yes. One thing I do remember is it was a little stressful for me going to the booth because it involved interacting with people. And it's funny, when I interact with people, you can't tell that I'm shy. But before I interact with people, oh, my brain was like, hey, remember the anxiety. You feel anxiety when you're around people. But anyways, yeah. What else did I put down? I said remind. Oh, right. Okay. The major takeaway I got from this. Okay, this whole conference felt like therapist. Where is this at? Okay, the major takeaway, the most important part from this whole virtuous con. Well, aside from it being the blackest thing that I've done this month, like absorb this their energy, being around black people, black nerds, black journalists. I say nerds, but yeah, I mean, yeah, black people who don't fit the stereotype. Probably the major takeaway or the best messages, like it's been communicated in many ways, and the idea of, as a black person, especially a black person who is aware, you know what? Let me that Baldwin quote there. You know, okay, because I don't want to waste time, because the Baldwin quote, basically being aware as a black person is just being angry. Baldwin quote, angry black person. Yes. All right. To be enraged almost all the time. Okay. No. What's the actual quote? You're not going to show it to me? Come on, man. In 1961, author James Baldwin was asked by a radio host about being black in America. He says, to be a Negro in this country and to be relatively conscious is to be in a state of rage almost all the time. That's the quote that I wanted to keep. Okay, so the takeaway, the major takeaway that I got from this this sermon is, it's true, but learn to have some fucking fun. That was the major takeaway. Learn to have some fun. So in my early days, you know, the angry pro-black guy that I was, I remember spending my entire life, you know that Freeman quote? What's it? Freeman from The Wire. I'm trying to remember his first name. Freeman. Anyways, here he goes, a life, Jimmy. A life, his life is that thing that happens while you're waiting for moments that never come. So during my angry pro-black phase, the moment that was never going to come was us black people, at least not in my lifetime, ending up at the promised land, or having white folks being, oh shit, now I understand. We understand what you black people are going through. You know what I mean? Think about what it means to be pro-black, to finally be free. You know, I was constantly angry. And what the takeaway that I got from this conference was, learn to have a life while being black. And I'm thinking about one of the conferences that I attended was, it's called something about Black Fay Day. I didn't know what the fuck to expect until I clicked in. And hey, I'm going to read this out. Black Fay Day, this shit blew my mind. Okay. May 14 is Black Fay Day. Aiming to promote positive representation of black people in mainstream media, particularly fantasy. Jasmine Lafleur created it with the support of her partner, Carlos William Jr. Oh, I met these two. Okay, in 2021. On the day of the event, the associated hashtag Black Fay Day made it to at least number two trending on Twitter. Black Fay Day, BFD, hosts a blackest fairy tale experience, inviting you to immerse yourself in a fantasy setting designed exclusively for this community. Okay. I remember being in this conference. At first I was like, what? Black fairies? What the fuck? We do that shit? And then listening to the panel, the impression that I got from them is that, yes, we're aware of what it means to be black. We're aware of that rage. But we've managed to do what a lot of black people haven't been able to do, and that's have a childhood, enjoy their childhood, have fun, fantasize. Now, I did fantasize, but I fantasize about, you know, guns and shit, or like all my fantasies were violent, or like, because I'm not the violent type, but like being a fairy, that it was that panel that taught me that even one of the women who was speaking, she said, yo, I'm pro-black, don't get me wrong, but I learned to have fun. It's fucked up. It's really a complicated combination to have. Like, I've heard this discussion about how the difficulty of raising a black child. On one end, you want them to enjoy their childhood. But on the other end, you don't want them to be a sucker of this white supremacy system that's trying to get them. And the question is, at what age, at what point do you finally shatter your child's childhood and tell them about the reality of being black? I get a feeling that my parents didn't value childhood. I know I didn't. I never understood. That's why I'm like, you know, why do we have a Santa Claus? What's the point of that? Why are you lying to your kids? It took me a while to understand why we had this tradition of Santa Claus. And the fact is, let them dream. Let them believe in money grows on tree. Let them believe in fantasy. Let them believe in this. Let them believe whatever the fuck they need to believe to put a smile on their face. I didn't understand the value of having a childhood. And the, you know, maybe that's a conversation I should have had with these. Like, I felt like telling them, sounds like you guys had a very wonderful childhood. Your parents allowed you to be children. And, man, my parents, I don't know if my parents would disagree to this statement, but I never got the impression that they valued childhood. For them, childhood was just preparation. Spend your time preparing to be an adult and deal with this cold, harsh fucking world. Anyway, yeah, so, yeah, I guess, yeah, all this to say that, I'm really grateful. I had a great weekend. And the reason I had a great weekend is because I went to this, attended this virtuous con. And I don't regret it. I'm looking forward to doing it next year. Not just actually doing next year. I'm actually looking forward to attending more conference. Because I did have fun interacting with all these creators. I'm grateful that none of them were like the pushy types. They were just... they were just being polite. Every time if you went into their booth, they would greet you, salute you, which to me, it kind of freaked me out because it meant, like, great, I have to interact with a human being. But they were kind souls, and they were everyone that I interact with, everyone was cool. It was like there was a real sense of, it was beautiful, man. It was beautiful. That thing I said earlier about how Virtuous Con confirmed that there were a lot of black nerds on this planet. What blew my mind is the fact that the black nerds online that I did know weren't at this event. It's kind of like if you are that moment, that one season in The Walking Dead, where Rick and them discover the kingdom, and what was the other community? Like, they find out there's other communities out there. Yeah, I feel like I've discovered other black communities on the internet. It's a beautiful thing, man. I also, yo, man, this is a great way to sum up my Black History Month, man. Yeah. So, chapeau to you, man. Kudos to all y'all. Now, in news and random thoughts, I was going to cover, you know, real quick. I said, Dilbert. Actually, I'm going to say this out loud. I kind of asked one of the brothers from, I'm kind of hoping he takes me seriously. He laughed, but I hope he's taking me seriously. It was the Tuskegee Hers. I told him, we had a discussion about, what's that cracker's name? The dude who wrote Dilbert there. I'll just click on the link. Sam Adams. I'm thinking of the liquor. Yeah, Sam Adams. And I wrote, I need a cartoonist, and I need a cartoonist to draw for me a picture of Huey and Riley Freeman beating the shit out of Dilbert. Fuck it, man, rob him. And just as a middle finger to, well, you know what? I'm not trying to give this white man a middle finger or any attachment. But long story short, if you're following the news, For some reason, this crazy white man decided to go online, record himself, and upload a video of himself talking shit about how, basically saying racist shit. Racist, the kind of racist shit that makes your publisher being like, oh, we can't work with you anymore. Dude, you're bad for business. I don't know what the fuck. I mean, there's ways. I don't believe I have to teach this to white people. There's ways to be racist and not lose your job over it. I mean, you know, I think you're like fucking hardcore. You're fucked up if you're willing to lose your job over some racism. I'm actually grateful. but yeah, that dude must be going through some things to do what he did. But yeah, man, fuck Dilbert. Not fuck Dilbert, but I will not be using Dilbert anymore to bond with my white coworkers. I used to do that just to, you know, like watching Seinfeld. Yeah, I watched Seinfeld just to be able to have a conversation with them. Actually, I enjoyed Seinfeld. I enjoyed Dilbert, but I am not going to do that with Dilbert. I don't know. I think I want the world to know that he's a piece of shit crackers. All right, okay. So the last thing I had on news before I go on to personal thoughts was Leslie Lewis. Leslie Lewis, for those who don't know, she's a politician, Canadian politician, a black Canadian politician. Well, okay, well, she's using her black card, and she's with the Conservative Party. If you're an American, that's the equivalent of the Republicans. Anyways, she recently posted some shit about how, yo, she wants an apology for Trudeau for doing blackface. And here's the thing. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to summarize here. It's, look, Herschel Walker, she's Herschel Walker North. So in a way, the coons in Canada are a bit more progressive. she's doing some Herschel Walker shit. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, her white friends set her up for it. It's like we need you to go online and complain about, okay, hold on a second. My levels are a little fucked up. Oh, you know what? I think my board is fucked up. Oh, there we go. There we go. Sorry, my levels went down. Yeah, she, I think her white friends put her up to it. So yeah, we need you to talk to your nigger friends and get them to stop voting for Trudeau and tell them that you're upset by the racism that she did. But anyways, yeah, so the only point I was trying to make, yeah, man, Herschel Walker walk so Leslie Lewis can fly. But I'm looking forward to have more news about that shit. All right, okay. I'm going to the rest of the items I had on the agenda. I'm going to save it for Wednesday, assuming I remember, assuming no big things happen. But I want to switch to personal thoughts, so because I forget. It's fucking late. I got to go to bed. Yeah, man. So let's just drop to the personal thoughts. Okay, let's conclude news and random thoughts and go to personal thoughts. Here we go. There we go. Okay. Okay, this is going to take time. You know what? I'm going to make this quick here. I was going to go into elaborate, but first share some words of wisdom from, hold on a second, from, what's her name again? Cheryl Lee Ralph. Actress Cheryl Lee Ralph. Right? She says some deep shit someone record on her TV. Here we go.
To all of you watching here, come close to the screen and listen. People don't have to like you. People don't have to love you. They don't even have to respect you. But when you look in the mirror, you better love what you see. You better love what you see. Thank you to the critics.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Now, this podcast isn't really about not just, okay, just to be clear. The reason I was sharing this clip is because I still remember being in that, actually, I sort of still am in that phase. I still remember being the person who would listen to something like that and reject what she's trying to say. Not because she's wrong, but the idea of loving yourself for some of us is like a foreign concept. It's the equivalent of asking me to speak Arabic. Do something that I don't have the capacity to do. Like, there's something in my brain that's like that rejects the idea of self-love. And what's funny is I was about to say, oh, thanks, how do you do that? Until I came across this article on Reddit, a post on Reddit that got deleted. But the title says, "My ugliness makes me cry all the time." And the person who wrote that was pretty much just saying how they believe they're ugly. And when they see themselves in the mirror, they make themselves cry. They've tried to make themselves beautiful. And basically, it was a lot of hatred about their physical appearance. And, oh, it's under the Make Me Cry, Made Me Cry section. And it was just, like, it felt hopeless from this perspective. Like, this person wasn't trying to hear shit about, telling her, hey, you need to stop thinking like that. This person, you need to stop thinking like that. Wasn't going to help. And that's the reality. Some people actually believe that they're ugly and they ain't shit you can do about, and all the compliments in the world won't do shit for them. Like, there's, so I guess I was trying to, on one way I was like, I related to this message, but on the other way, but the other end, reading her message going, damn, do I sound like that? Because I guess they just got it worse than I do. And the response, it looks like I'm doing this whole segment. The response that I like, right, is in response to it, someone wrote something that I like, and this is the whole point of this segment. They wrote, you should get my AI to read it, but I'm going to try to do it. Okay. Looking at your post history, seems to me like this is something you need to seriously work on. See, okay, this is something you need to seriously work on. In other words, talk to a therapist. You might want to, oh yeah, all the self-help books in the world ain't going to help, but you need to talk to someone. And I don't mean your looks. I love this. I mean your obsession with your appearance. You are clearly depressed and so hyper-fixated, on your looks that it's taken over your life. And you're not seeing the good that you have, exactly. You are so young. I promise you, no matter what you think is the problem, you look so much better than you think. It's believing. Okay. I don't think that guy blocked you for your looks, but because you pushed him away. I have no idea what you look like, but I can give you some basic facts. 1, unattractive people get married all the time. 2, makeup is like magic. It takes time to learn the skill, but you can work miracles. And most of the people you feel inferior to are actually not pretty without filters and makeup. 3, looks are not the reasons anyone gets married. True. It's at best part of the initial spark, but that doesn't last. Agreed. When you stop focusing on your looks and start putting your energy into more productive things, you will start to feel better about yourself very quickly. But most importantly, you need to talk to someone. You are very clearly in a dark place, exactly, and need counseling. Meds do not cause brain damage. Talk to anyone. Oh, the reason they said that at the end is because they mentioned how they're depressed and they've tried to take, and the original poster mentioned how they're depressed and they've tried taking meds and they're worried it caused them brain damage, but whatever. Yeah, I think that's what I'm talking about. When you're in that dark place and you ain't trying to hear shit about positivity. And I remember the first time I heard Cheryl Rouse speak and say, you know, you got to love yourself. I'm like, you're right. You're right. And I was just about to give you reasons why I can't do that when I'm realizing that I can. I can. You know, I mean, look, I don't want to, this ain't a speech about how you need to do that. This is more a conversation about if you can relate to what I'm talking about, where you look yourself in the mirror and you can't get yourself to like yourself. I'm not here to preach to you about how you need to do that. I'm in the process of figuring that out for myself. The fact that I managed to crawl myself into therapy was probably my best bet into it. You know what? I'm going to pat myself on the back for attending VirtuousCon. VirtuousCon wasn't set up to help people's self-esteem. But what I'm saying is I'm crediting myself for initially saying, the words Black History, Black Comic Books, and saying, fuck it, I'm trying it out. And giving it a shot. I think that's what it is, man, is the way I managed to pull myself away from saying nothing's going to change. Am I giving myself credit? Hold on a second. What am I doing here? Look. Sometimes I wish I knew how to talk to people who are in the dark places. But you know what? It makes no sense. I'm actually dealing with my own self. I'm the one trying to crawl out of my own dark place. And I don't know. Actually, that's so funny. After today's conference, I felt like I've made significant move out of it. After my conversation with my friend about her dead friend, and I was like, fuck. I was starting to remember how remind myself about, yeah, this life is more enjoyable when it went high. I snapped out of it. Don't get me wrong. I don't know who I'm talking to with this podcast. That's the other thing about the Virtuous Con is I forgot to bring up is all these people, they were selling their art. They were selling their creation. They had something to sell. This is the reason why I only told one person about my podcast, because I'm still not sure what the fuck I'm trying to sell. But one thing I did appreciate from one of the panel conversations, they were saying, yo, man, you don't have, even though you haven't figured out who your audience is or you don't know where you're going, what you're trying to do, keep doing what you're doing. Keep at it, man. It's like one of them was like an influencer on Instagram or one of those platforms. And she was saying how, my favorite second takeaway from the conference. One of them was saying, and that's something my therapist tried to communicate to me, is learning to be comfortable with taking L's. Sometimes you're going to create shit that's not going to, you're going to love it, but it's not going to get you the result. Others aren't going to love it. Others won't support you for it. Some people will be like, what the fuck were you thinking? Or if not just that, some of these content creators, they have trolls, especially the women, especially black women. Queer black folks. They get attacked on a regular basis. But I did love how they were saying, learning to be comfortable taking L's. Because it's going to happen. There's going to be times you're going to lose. And here's the thing is, growing up, I've gotten comfortable with losing. But that's not what they're saying. I've gotten way too comfortable with losing. I think it was just like, fuck it, that's all I'm going to do. But it's like, it's a crazy balance. It's a paradox, man. It's like being optimistic, wishing for the best, while accepting that, oh, fuck it, Exhibit said it perfectly. He said, be prepared for the worst, but expect the best. Kind of shit, that paradox. Be prepared to lose. Be prepared to take L's. Be prepared for that shit, but keep expecting that shit is going to work out. All right, now let me jump to the final chapter, to the final the final item that's on my rundown sheet is the title of today's episode. Had me feeling like black was the thing to be. And that was a verse from Tupac from his track Keep Your Head Up. And final thoughts. And here's the thing. What coincides with Tupac is what I love about Tupac is what attracted me to Tupac, one was, well, besides the track they got me locked in the prison of seclusion. Happiness living on the street is a delusion. Even a smooth criminal one day must get caught. Shut up or shot down with the bullets that he bought. I remember, yeah, I fell in love once I heard those verses, but that's not the point I'm trying to get at. What I'm saying is, Pac was the equivalent of my virtues. Before Pac, I was a stuck-up, stick-in-the-ass, pro-black, yo, it got time, you know what I mean? Hey, B, what time is it? It's revolution time. You know what I mean? What? You think we had time to, but like, I thought we had to be soldiers. And Pac was my first introduction to He was still, he still said pro-black shit, but he was my introduction to, you got to live this life. Life goes on. You're still going to have to live this life. Like, try to enjoy this life. Yeah, it's like, before Virgil's cut, Pac was probably, I'm black till the end. But his version of pro-blackness was lighten up. There was a version of lighten up in there. Have fun, go to parties, have sex, fall in love, take time, take a break to find hope. Take, you know, be your ridiculous self. Be your whatever. Just be you, but live this fucking life. Because you're going to die. I don't know. People ain't seeing it in this music, but I, like, I'm not going to give no huge thoughts, no long thoughts about why Pac is on my, on the final person. Well, aside from being my favorite artist, my favorite rap artist, period. But one of the many takeaways I got from Pac is enjoy being black. It's not just about focusing on oppression. It's not focusing on every paying attention to every Trayvon Martin, Elijah McClain. It's, take a time to be a child, take the time to be a teenager, take the time to be an adult, take the time if you're going to be married. Yo, I love the, his track, I Ain't Mad At You. Like the beautiful poetry in Pac about one of my friends, ex-girlfriend, actually, she pointed out how Pac is the epitome of being a black male, you know, dealing with cops. It's like, all the above. He was, you know, grew up with, he's got a song, a track about how, not having a father in his life. It's like, he's like covered every act. The major takeaway I got from Pac's music is live while existing black. and he just made being black, made me feel like black was the thing to be. Like I mentioned, I had some honorable mentions. There's a lot of rappers I could have mentioned, but I don't regret. I'm glad who I picked already, but I'm going to send out some honorable mentions too. Immortal Technique, Arrested Development, Professor X, and the Black Watch. What was her name? Isis, the rapper. Okay. Anyway, I didn't prepare. Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, Nas, definitely Nas. Joey Badass. He's got this one track. Still got the last name of our slave owners. Yeah. Honorable mentions for that track. Common Sense, Mos Def, Queen Latifah, The Native Tongue, De La Soul, R.I.P. True Goy, A Tribe Called Quest, Jungle Brothers, and Kanye West. Now, there's a lot of rappers I could have mentioned in here. I could be giving honorable mention, but it's all rappers who some way, somehow gave me track or like my channel into blackness. While I was growing up surrounded, drowning in whiteness, they were the ones giving me that lifeline. When I bought your music, when I paid for your music, when I looked for, oh my God, what's that? Talib Kweli. All you black creators, man. So when all of you, when I was paying for your music, consuming your art, I was reaching out for a lifeline in this. To avoid drowning in this whiteness that just wanted me to go crazy or hate myself or hate my black skin. Right, man. And this concludes today's episode. Look at me, man, on time. I'm going to conclude today's episode because it's getting late. And I'll holler at you, I guess, on Wednesday for my midday episode. And, yeah, this was also conclude. This is thanks for sticking around with me for the final day of Black History Month. I mean, sure, there's two more days left. Oh, right, gotta call my cousin tomorrow. Two more days left, the 27th and the 28th. But for me, this is like my closing ceremony for Black History Month as a podcaster. But yeah, again, this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. Episode 056, is it 56? Yes. And yeah, holler at me on Twitter. My B Blizzak account is back on. The man finally decided to, I'm out of Twitter jail on via B Blizzak, and I have my Shut Up Podcast Twitter account. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed that's on the website, shutuppodcast.com, or go to Google or Apple Podcasts. Hey, yo, thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcasts.